Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 18, season one of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. I'm your co-host, Dr. Richard Maddow. So excited to be here today. And whether your dental practice is broken or not, we're going to fix it.
We fix it.
We just fix your practice.
We fix it the practice.
So, hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, and you probably are if you're listening to episode 17, please tell your friends about the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Go on iTunes. Give us a good review. Give us a five-star rating. Do whatever it takes. We really, really, really appreciate it. It's just season one, and we really feel like we're picking up a lot of traction and getting so many favorable comments. So please, we'd love it for you to help things along and make sure that the Dental Practice Fixers podcast stays in business for a long, long, long time. So I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, another dental practice fixer here in the studio today, Dr. David Maddow. How's it going today, Dave?
Hey, I feel like chief fixer today. I don't know why.
I'm like chief fixer.
I'm like fixing the practices.
I'm fix-a-dent.
Hey, Rich, how's it going? I'm good.
Great,
you feeling
man.
Good?
Excellent.
I'm feeling great. Good to be back in the studio with you, Rich. I'm going to start off by, you know, we start off every episode giving a quick tip. This might be the quickest, but it might be the most important.
I'm going to start my timer.
Okay. Seriously, I'm going to try to keep this under 30 seconds, but this tip right here has the possibility, the probability, the likelihood of really changing your practice and your life. You've heard us for quite some time now. We talk about how we can really help practices through coaching and things like that, things that we do, mainly coaching. We have really had a great year where we have changed so many practices for the better. It's unbelievable. You've heard us say it. You've probably thought about it. You've listened, but maybe you've never taken that next step. Maybe next year is the year that you really want your practice to do better than ever. And if it is, all I'm asking you to do, send us an email, info@maddow.com. We'll get on the phone with you. One of us will get on the phone with you along with one of our coaches, and we'll just have a very informal conversation. It's very simple, no pressure whatsoever, no obligation, but it really could be the phone call that changes your life, changes your practice. info@maddow.com. Let us know. We're ready to talk to you. Are you finally ready?
Okay, maybe that was 30 seconds, but I'm going to add another 10 seconds and just say,
no, we can't.
Out of all the
things I went over anyway.
We do here, which, you know, seminars, podcasts, products to help your dental practice. You guys know, you've been with us for a long time. For me, Dave, and I don't know if you agree or not, I think you will, there's nothing more fun and more gratifying than helping an individual practice through coaching. And there's nothing better to hear from the doctor and the team members that, wow, they're loving their practice more, they're enjoying it, they're earning more money, they're happier, their patients are happier, their bank account is happier. That makes us feel so good. But don't do it to make us feel good.
No.
Do it to make you feel good and to grow your practice and to enjoy dentistry more and to earn more money. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. So we'd love to be with you on your journey.
See, since I was going to keep this 30 seconds,
Rich.
But since you ruined it already, it's already screwed up. I'm going to say one more time. This is really important. Practically every single listener here has heard us say this already. It's not new to them. They've heard us say it. But for some reason, they just thought, it's not for me. I'm not going to do it now. Maybe later. Maybe next year. I'll try some things on my own. Let me tell you something. How's that working out? Or I should ask you, how's that working out? It's time to...
Same.
Is it time to talk? Let's talk. Let's talk about it. info@maddow.com. Drop us an email. We'll get on the phone with you. It's simple.
Whether your practice is already great, we can make it better, whether it's good, whether it's fair, whether it's middling, we'd love to hear from you. So, hey, let's talk about something today. And it's funny, Dave, thinking about this topic, I'm not so sure either of us have like a 100% definitive, clear-cut answer. I certainly have an opinion on it.
And I don't think at all. Wait, what's the topic?
I think you know what the topic is. I think you'll have an opinion on it too. Let's talk about bonus systems. We get asked all the time, should I do a bonus system? Sometimes when we start working with a practice, they'll have a bonus system in place and they'll say, what do you think of our bonus system? So, you know, bonus systems, some people love them, some people hate them. They've got their pluses, they've got their minuses. We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah. So, and Rich, this has been a topic and a question we've been asked, you know, for the past close to 30 years now. And everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks they're right.
You know what opinions are like.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll just talk about it a little bit. And again, we might not have a definite answer for you at the end of the show, but we'll at least give you some information, some ammunition that you can make your own decision.
Okay, I'm going to share my favorite bonus system.
Let's hear that.
Okay, you figure out what the amount of dollars is that needs to be collected each month to make your practice break even. And that's called your BAM, your bare ass minimum. Then you take that and you subtract that from your production minus your PPO write-offs. Then you gather up all the hours that each team member works. You take the square root of that and put that on top of the hydratic and quadratic equation. You multiply that times the fudge factor, which is 0.000087. That's the amount of money left in your pool at the end of the month. Then you divide that evenly amongst all staff members, except part-time. They get 0.67 times the multiplicative index of your nose. Is that the one that you've heard one time?
I am really glad because I was just about, I thought you forgot about the multiplicative index part. Because I was
sometimes it's
of
your IQ. Sometimes it's the multiplicative index of your IQ.
But you forgot to quadraticize it.
Oh, I knew I forgot
something.
You got to
take the entire final answer and quadraticize.
I think you get my point.
Yeah,
if you're going to do a bonus
total
system,
BS.
If you are, and we're not saying you should, but if you insist on doing a bonus system, it's got to be something that someone with a 10th grade math education can understand and figure out.
And I'll tell you something. I certainly couldn't figure that one out. I don't even know if I have a 10th grade education, but I could not figure that one out at all.
I remember back in the day, my practice was working with a coaching company. Dave, you were utilizing the same company.
Same one.
They had a formula. I don't think one of my team members understood it. And my team members were smart. They were sharp people. I don't think one of them could really explain the bonus system.
Well, here's the question. Did they ever bonus?
They did.
Nobody could understand it.
But they took the checks.
So you must have understood it somehow. But
barely.
They just took a check when it came because you fudged it or something.
Which leads us to the next thing that I think is going to help us maybe come closer to a conclusion. What happens if they bonus 3 months in a row, 4 months in a row, 5 months in a row? Then what happens?
Oh, then it's time to screw them up and raise the bar. Screw them. You don't want to keep having them bonus, so you raise the bar really high so they can't reach it, right?
Exactly, because the bonus becomes part of their expectation.
Right.
It's not a bonus anymore.
Right.
If your practice is consistently growing, that's no longer a bonus. That's part of their expected take-home pay.
Yeah. I think this is leading to one maybe possible conclusion. That I have a feeling we both think the same thing.
And that is?
Well, I mean... Okay, so I'll tell you how we did it in my practice. Now, this was after we worked with that, like, quote-unquote management company that had that formula that you just said that I can't remember.
You know what's funny about that management company? They worked on a bonus system. Do you remember that?
Oh.
We paid them a relatively sane amount each month, plus a percentage of our practice growth that we had because we were working with them. And I remember resenting that like crazy because I felt like, they were okay. They were fair to Midland. And I had a contract with them, and my practice was growing. And I think it was mainly because of things that my team and I were doing, not because of what they were doing, yet I still had to pay them a percentage of the growth. That ticked
me
off.
I know how you felt. Like, in other words, you're paying them enough. You're paying them a very fair monthly fee. Very fair, but then they kept you had to keep stooping them a little more because your practice was growing, probably, based on stuff you were doing.
Right. If my hygienist got really good at presenting perio treatment to someone just on her own free will or whatever, then we had to stoop the consultant.
That is ridiculous. Yep. I wouldn't have paid them.
No, we don't do that with our coaching, by the way.
That's a good idea. We fix your practice, you pay us more. No, you don't. See, that's
you pay us 85% of your growth.
See, that's
we don't do that.
You know, we don't. Yeah, we want you to have all the money.
Exactly.
We take a fair fee, very fair, and then you make more money. It's all yours. I like that.
Right. But the thing about bonuses, as we're saying, is a few things happen. You know, some people say, well, I've got to motivate my team members and money's the number one motivation.
Not true.
I totally disagree with that.
Yeah, not true.
Oh, I don't disagree that it's not true. I disagree that money's the number
one. Money's good and everybody needs money and wants money, but it's not the number one. What's the number one motivational factor? What is it, you think?
I think the number one motivational factor is making people feel really good every day about what they do.
Recognition.
Recognition, thanking,
yep.
Making everybody feel like your practice is a great place to work, a safe place to work, a place where they can come and enjoy themselves and help people and be rewarded emotionally for doing it. To me, that's the number one motivation.
Yeah, great work environment, happy place, recognition for sure. That's not only our opinion. That's been shown over time. That is like the most important factor in having a job and staying there long term.
Absolutely. Here's another thing about bonuses. I know that we've had practices tell us this before, and they say they pay their team members, you know, maybe not the highest wage in the area, maybe not a great thing, but then they have a really good bonus system. So if they have a great month or if the team members work hard, this motivates them to raise their salary because they're not really super well paid.
I'll tell you, I've got an idea, Rich. I've got a little idea. I'm going to run it by you.
Okay,
It sounds stupid. It really does. It's ridiculous. I don't even know if I want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. How about this concept? Pay your team members a really nice, fair salary, fair wage, whatever it might be, salary, wage, W-2, whatever, you know, pay them a fair amount, something that's really good, and have them be very happy with that, have them work hard, and everybody works hard together, everybody's very happy with the amount they make, and you don't even worry about a bonus system. Is that easy?
I love doing it that way.
Is that a concept?
Well, you want to have the best practice in your area. You want to have the best team in your area. You know, that doesn't mean that a dental assistant should be making $250,000 a year. That's just off scale. But it means that your team should be well paid for your area. They should feel like they're doing really well for your geographic area.
And as things get better, as your practice grows, there's no law that says you can't give a raise to somebody that's really been fantastic over a period of time and instrumental in growing the practice. I mean, is there anything on the books, any law that says you can't give a raise? Is it?
I think just in Missouri. So if you're listening in Missouri, sorry.
But I mean, what a concept. Pay them really well. Make it a great environment that they love coming to work every day. And as the practice grows, you reward them that way. But it's simple.
Yeah, it really. You know, I don't know if, Dave, I don't think you've ever waited tables or done anything like that. I never waited tables, but when I was in college, I was a pizza delivery guy. And
I think I remember you telling me, is that the thing that lasted like for 4 days?
It didn't last very long. But, you know, that whole service industry mindset where a waiter or waitress, or I think servers may be a more appropriate term these days, they get paid a very low wage and they depend on tips. Mm-hmm. Is that what your dental team should be like? No way.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Because the patients aren't going to give them tips.
That's a really good point.
Hey, let's bring up something a little more controversial.
Uh-oh.
This, I think, you'll find some arguments about. The good old Christmas bonus.
Oy vey.
Oy gewalt.
Oy.
If you're saying oy gewalt, it might be a Hanukkah bonus.
You just give them a lot of gelt. The Christmas or the holiday bonus, whatever the holiday might be, the typical holiday bonus. What do you do? Well, I think most offices give some type of bonus.
That's I think so, too.
I think they do.
I think they do, too.
You know, so I know what we're probably both thinking this thing. Well, if you give it every year, it's expected. So it's no longer like, oh, I got a bonus this year. It's like I better get my bonus this year or else I'm going to be really pissed off. So it's a tough one because, look, I remember years and years ago, our office, let's face it, offices sometimes go through very tough years. And I remember we had a tough year or two and the team did not get a bonus for 1 or 2 years because we did the holiday bonus type thing. We always gave them like a nice little thing at the end of the year. But for a couple of years, we weren't able to do that. And guess, Rich, how do you think the team felt?
They feel like they're getting a demotion.
They were pissed.
Yep.
Because they counted on that. It was like regular pay. Oh, I'm going to be getting my bonus. I already spent my bonus. It's already spent. I booked a vacation. Well, guess what? This year, we didn't have a good year, and we can't give bonuses. Well, that doesn't really sit well with them. So, again, that's a tough call. I know everybody likes to get into the holiday spirit and, you know, give out $100, $200, $500 checks here and there, whatever the bonus might be. But, you know, I think if the precedent is we pay you really well, we don't give bonuses, whether it's a year-long bonus, you know, or whether a production bonus or whether it's a holiday bonus. We don't give bonuses here. And if that's expected, if that's the precedent started, then I think there's no problem with that. And you get into trouble once you start the bonus, you can never take it away.
Right. Well, I was going to say, if I think like most of our listeners, if you already have a holiday bonus that you've been giving everybody year after year, we are not going to say stop doing that because you're essentially taking expected money out of your team members' pockets. And therein lies the problem. It's no longer a bonus. It's part of their pay. They know that in whatever, December 15th, they're going to be getting whatever your bonus is, a half a week's pay, 1 week's pay, whatever it is. So that's no longer a bonus. But once you've started, you can't take it away or you're in deep trouble. So we're not saying to do that. If we were advising somebody just starting a practice from scratch right now, I think it might be reasonable to say, don't don't give holiday bonuses. Tell your team that's not part of our pay structure. We pay you really well. If you do something exceptional, if we have an incredible month, then I might give everybody a bonus. I might come in and hand everybody $500 in cash.
Yeah, and that's unexpected, and also and
that's fantastic,
and that's not expected every month they're going to get that. Right. That's clearly something that's just special.
Yep.
But you know, Rich, we can tell everybody what we do here at the Matto Center, and we've been doing it this way for many, many years, and it's worked really well. We have a really great, loyal team here that's been with us for a long time. They apparently, I think they love the environment.
Apparently, or else they just couldn't find another job.
Maybe that's what it is, but everybody seems to really like working here. But so we don't do any bonuses. Last I checked, we don't do any bonuses, but at the end of the year, we've been doing this for a long time, we take our entire team to a really nice dinner where we just sit down and, you know, everybody enjoys, we have some drinks and eat some good food and we hang out with everybody, and that goes a long way. And we do that every year, and I really would hate to take that away, but as far as like signing checks to everybody every year and saying, here's your bonus, we just don't do that. And I can tell you this works for sure.
And everybody looks forward to the end of the year dinner, and we let the team members pick where we go. So we don't get involved. They tell us this is where we want to go, and that's what we do, and everybody has a great time, and they get paid really well.
Yeah.
So
I hope they're not listening to this, because I think they get paid really well.
Do they listen to this?
I'm not sure if they do.
I think they might.
They better.
Well, I think we're in agreement that the crazy mathematical bonus system is problematic in that it becomes expected. And then you have to raise the bar, and that's no good. People complain about that because then you're essentially giving them a demotion. So don't do it. Pay people really well. If you want to do the occasional surprise bonus, that's really cool. Christmas bonus, well, if you're already in that rut or precedent, you can't take it away. But if you're starting a new practice, you really might want to think about it.
Good stuff.
Excellent.
Good stuff. You ready to get into the call today?
There could be some craziness today. It's possible.
I've got an idea, Rich, because I tell you, we've had a lot of good feedback, and people say that one of the favorite parts of the show is the call, the weekly call. But let's try something. Is it safe to say we can try to call another country? Because, okay, we've called so many offices in the United States throughout North America, and it seems like they're all failing, but maybe another country, maybe they do it differently, maybe they do it better. So Rich, what would you say, can we call,
I'm dialing it up on my Skype right now,
can we call Israel?
Can
we call Eretz Yisrael?
Can.
Let's give it a shot.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Shalom. You speak English?
Yes, I do. How can I help you?
Oh, sure. How much? Thank you so much, Shalom. How much for a cleaning, teeth cleaning?
A hygienist visit is 240 shekel.
240 shekel. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Bye.
Oi
vey.
Oi gewalt.
Oi.
Well, first of all, her English was perfect.
I think English might have been her first language.
I mean, I would say perfect American-style English.
Yeah.
Yours wasn't. Why did you have an accent? You're calling as an English is your language. Why did you have like that crazy, that fake Israeli accent? I can't even do it. What was up with that?
Yeah, I think you busted me.
Well, I don't think she did. She took you seriously.
You totally but I wonder what she thought I was. Like, here I was, some weirdo telco with an accent, but I had to speak English. I don't know.
Well, at least you weren't one of those people who's like accents kind of faded in and out. Like, you had it, then you didn't have it, then you have it, then you didn't have it.
Right. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. But I really thought that by trying, you know, look, I think we've exhausted so many dental offices in the U.S. and North America. I thought, let's try something out of the country because they're going to be much better, right?
Why would they be better? I like, you know, it's funny. I think that the dental business training in the U.S. is certainly as good as anywhere in the world, anywhere that I've seen. I think a lot of countries are certainly clinically excellent, but maybe a little behind when it comes to the business training.
Yeah, so I guess that's the case. So wait, how many shekels did she say that was? 240 shekels? Is that what she said?
About $65.
That's a great deal.
That must have been for the cleaning only.
I'm going to Israel for my cleaning. It's a really good deal.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is?
What's the problem?
In Israel, they clean your teeth from right to left. So you got to be really careful.
That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, look, I think there's only one grade we can give her because she didn't ask for but do you think she was a little abrupt at the end? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye. I thought so. Not real friendly.
No, not friendly.
I'm going to give her a Dalit.
Dalit. I'm going to give her a Fae for F.
Yeah, she flunked.
She flunked, totally. She did. So maybe let's try to move to another country and see if they're any better. I don't know.
Let's find out.
You want to go to Iran?
I've always wanted to go to Iran.
Let's try it right now.
Okay. Hey, hello. Eloha Bechem. Do you speak English? I want to know how much is teeth cleaning teeth cleaning. Echemach. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, do you speak
English? 300,000 tomans.
How many?
300,000 tomans.
300,000 tomans. Okay, do you accept insurance?
No.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very, very much, Echemach. Echemach. Thank you. Excuse me?
Well, we lost him at the end, but I think he might have been asking for an appointment. He said something. It was obviously not in English, but he might have been asking for the appointment. I'm not sure.
Like he was asking for the appointment in Farsi?
Maybe.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
If he had said, yes, we take insurance, what type of insurance do you have? What were you going to say? I work for Tehran Electric. I mean,
I would have gone into my I do not know.
Tough to give him a grade. I think the language barrier was too great to really have higher expectations of that call.
Do you think
I'm going to give him a break?
Do you think he was a dentist?
No idea.
He might have been, but here's the thing. Yeah, it's going to be. I agree. It's tough to give him a grade, but I'm going to say he really tried. First of all, obviously, English is not his first language by any stretch of the imagination, but he really tried. He gave the fee.
What kind of fee? I thought the currency in Iran was the rial. He said 300,000 tachas?
That's a lot of tachas.
Really? What the heck was that?
I do not know.
That would be about $7 if he were quoting you in rial. So I doubt that's the currency.
Great deal. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you something.
I'm going to refrain from comment on that one because I thought it was just too difficult.
And I think he tried.
I agree.
He tried. So
give him a B for effort.
Israel, Iran. You want to move to another country and see how they do?
How about let's do an English speaking country?
You know, you've always been a tremendous Beatles fan, right? I mean, you know the Beatles. You don't know them personally.
I do know them personally.
Do you know them personally? But I mean, you're like. Very high level. You've been following them all your life.
I've been contacted by Abbey Road Studios when they were doing a documentary.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go to Liverpool?
Right to the birthplace of the Beatles.
Go right to Liverpool. Okay. You ready?
Let's find a dentist near the Cavern Club.
Excellent.
Hello. Speaking.
Hi. Can you tell me if you do implants there?
We don't. We normally refer you to another dentist. To do the implants.
And okay.
Rock bridges and crowns.
Oh, okay. How much would a typical crown be? How much would that cost?
They start from 550 for a PFM, which is porcelain fused metal,
mm-hmm.
and go up to 850, which is like your zirconia. So 850 per tooth.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Well, first of all, I love the way she said zirconia. Zirconia. I'm horrible with accents, but zirconia.
I loved her voice.
Everything sounds great in a British accent.
I'm going there. I'm telling you right now.
You can curse someone out in a British accent. But I got to say,
loved her voice.
I don't think that was a Liverpool accent. Or Liverpudlian, or it's called Scouse. Scouse. It's a very distinctive accent. It's really twangy. Just think about like what the Beatles sounded like in their early days when they were interviewed.
Right.
You know,
they did not sound like that.
Ten left at Greenland. It's I can't do accents, but they don't sound like that.
That's a good point.
She sounded more to me like what you'd call the proper British accent. You hear more likely in the loftier sections of London, I thought.
Like a PFM. We do PFM, porcelain fused to metal.
Well, that's another thing.
Whoa.
using dental terminology. That must be international,
but
right?
But she sounded so good.
But the caller still had no idea what PFM, porcelain fused to metal, or zirconia meant.
I wonder if in Liverpool they do know that.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
So it's funny that they have the same things going on in North America or going on in Israel,
in the UK.
Iran, UK.
She did some things well. I thought she was very pleasant. person very friendly.
Very friendly.
Kind of like a nice, I don't know what you call it, like a lilt or a nice, just very nice tonality to her voice. Sounded very welcoming.
Totally agree.
But so of course, when it came down to it.
I can't fail her just because I loved her voice. I think the bottom line is she didn't try to get me in. So we're going to have to give her an F, right?
How about on a scale of A to Z, what would you give her?
I'll still give her the F. No, we'll go to Z. If it's from A to Z, we have to give her the Z, right?
I feel that patient, bad. No record, no ask name, patient's done. Never to be heard from again.
Well, my theory, I guess, has been disproven. I thought maybe somewhere else they're just doing it right all the time, but they're not.
Well, maybe we'll try some more countries as things go along.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Maybe even get some like a native Spanish speaker in here to do a mystery shopper call in Espanol.
Maybe we'll go to Ciudad Juarez.
Possibly. Or maybe one of our listeners will record a mystery that speaks another language. Will record a mystery shopper call for us and send it in.
Send it in to us. We'll take anything.
Send it to podcast@matto.com.
We'll work for food.
Yep. Hey, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Please be so kind as to spread the word. Let your friends know about our podcast. And that'll wrap up for today. I'm your co-host, Dr. Richard Matto.
Dr. David Matto, we will see you next time.